Good morning. Good morning. But I'm making this message. It's what? It's 9 o'clock at night today. Well, it's like we're back to the pandemic, pandemic days. But anyway, all things work together. Whatever be maybe the purpose for this, it's all for the good of all of us. Okay, but I would love to see you this Sunday, guys, and preach in front of you. But anyway, glory be to God. And the message that I will be speaking tonight, today, is saved to be a blessing. You know, when we receive the Lord as our Lord and Savior, we are not just being saved to go to heaven, but we are being saved to be a blessing, to be a witness. That's the right word to people. Now, in the previous Sundays, we have exhausted all the possible truth that we could glean in the life of Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane to the time that he has resurrected. And the last Sunday, I shortened my message because the children had given a guy a very what it helped it they already demonstrated what I'm going to say, so I just touched some part of it. And one of the things that I said there, after he ascended into heaven, and Paul said that he's in the right hand of the Father, interceding for believers. And and I mentioned that he has assigned believers with the same ministry, the ministry of prayer in intercession. So the only way that his ministry of intercession could be effective is when somebody intercedes, when somebody embraces that ministry of intercession and prayer. That's what we are earnestly doing, seriously, really doing with the team on Saturdays. And we all encourage you to join us if you really want to commit to that powerful ministry. So all those that commit into that ministry themselves will surely see how God answered their prayers for others. And there's a lot that we've been praying. People, members of the church that need job and they find a job, good job, that need healing and they were healed, that needs things to be sorted out and it was sorted out. We really are very serious with this, guys, because God said, "You ask not, that's why you don't have." So those that ask, they will have. So my text today is in Ephesians 2:5-7, which says, "Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." In verse 6 it says, "And raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." Lord, bless your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I like that word. We are raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. We're still here on earth, but we are already there. How did that happen? Well, everything is possible with God. It is God who said it, and I believe we are there. Although that's probably impossible to believe by those that doesn't believe what Jesus said, but it's possible to them that believe. When God started loving us, he did not wait until we were lovable. Who is lovable anyway? He loved us even when we were dead in trespasses, providing nothing lovable to him. Nothing. Paul, who wrote a lot of Revelation about the grace and mercy of God. Consider even dung, the things that he had done. He was a Pharisee, but he considered it dung. He considered it basura. What's that? Garbage. And this can be a requirement for being saved. You must first be dead. Dead to every attempt to justify yourselves before God. There's nothing we can do to please God except by believing in Him, by trusting Him. With ourselves, nothing. In John 5:24, it says here, "He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has passed from death to life." This is what God did to those who were dead in sin. He shed in our death so that we could share in his resurrection. He took our sin so that we could share in his righteousness. I love that. He made us sit together with him. The old man is crucified. My old man. My old dads. And we are new creation in Christ. And the old things passing away. And all things become new. Now I will be tackling about some new things that we need to understand about who we are in Christ. Now that a believer has an assurance that he is already seated in the heavenlies with Jesus, what is next? Do we stop from that truth? We should not, because we are still here in this flesh, we are still here in this earth, and we have to continue life. But this time, life in Christ. No longer life for ourselves, just ourselves, the things that we used to do. In Romans 8:29, it says, "For he foreknew," the Father God, "for he foreknew, he also predestined us to become, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn," he, there is Christ, "that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren." So he became our eldest brother. I love that. So we were predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's our destiny, to be conformed to that image, not only because of his righteousness in us, but because we have to walk here on earth closer to the image that everyone saw when he was still on earth, that at least they might see Jesus in us as we walk here on earth. To become like Christ while on earth is a lifetime process by which all believers has to go through. No exception. That's why Paul said that Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us through those intercessors and prayer warriors that keep praying for us. That's why being a part of a local church is what everybody, all the believers should believe or should need, so that hopefully someone from the church keep a regular prayer for him or her. Joining a cell group is one of the best way to make sure that hopefully someone is praying for you. You need a prayer warrior, brethren. I need one, and I know many pray for me. This morning as we were praying, somebody prayed for me. Harriet really prayed for me. Thank you, Harriet. You're such a wonderful woman. Now that as a believer goes through the righteous path, that's the narrow path as we call it, there will for sure be obstacle along the way, a trap that would delay our becoming like Christ and render us to be an effective believer instead. That's the only thing the devil can do, to delay our growth, to lessen our effectiveness, and That's why somebody has to intercede for us. Our main calling is to become witness for Jesus. And the devil will do anything to make believers an effective witness. Because if you are an effective witness for Christ, for sure you can make disciples. Or at least unbelievers wanting to know what you believe. Wanting to be with you, wanting to listen to you. So I suggest that the first a believer need to know of having a new life in Christ is that he or she loved. He is loved by God as he or he is. What do I mean? Let me explain. You are loved not because of what you've done, but because of who you are. And we have to understand this being a disciple of Christ, a Christian walking in as a witness in for him. In Ephesians 2, then this is what it says. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I like the translation of the New Living Translation. This is what it says. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ, new in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So there is already a planned work for us to do. We just have to walk in it. God didn't create you to be somebody else. When you get to heaven, he's not going to ask you why you weren't more like your sister, your father, or your neighbor, or someone else who is known, or someone else is good, or someone else is intelligent. God made you one of a kind. He wants you to be real. He wants you to be effective as who you are. That's why I'm not ashamed of, I just do things so as long as it doesn't offend anyone, I'm who I am. Pastor Jami, I think, is also the same. He is who he is. You don't have to pretend to be somebody holy as that, you know. Many Christians just so insecure with their being a Christian, and so they have this Christian, what do you call it? Like words like praise God, hallelujah. Those are good words. But if you do it as like an expression, just to be showing that you are spiritual, then that would be a problem, because you don't have to do that. You just have to be real. The problem is many people try to be someone they're not. They live for the approval of others, or they think God would love them more if they acted differently. But God's love isn't based on how you act. He loves you no matter what you do. In fact, the Bible says that even when we were in sin, God already loved us. And that love will never diminish, or it will always be the same. When you were a sinner, his love is constant. The same as when you are already a believer. One barrier that often keeps people from being effective in God is the fear of being real. You're afraid people won't like you if they find out who you really are. So you live an insecure life. Your past is past. That had been buried when you said, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. Don't dig the things that had been buried. Those are past. We are new in Christ. In Romans 8:15, it says, the spirit we receive does not make us slaves again to fear. It makes us children of God. The antidote of insecurity in God's spirit at work in you when you live as a child of God. Despite your mistakes or weaknesses, you are liberated to be who God made you to be. Hallelujah. Did you know that imperfections are actually a good thing? They're good. People don't grow from strengths. They grow from weakness. Showing only your strength to the world won't make feel that they want to be close to you. It may even make them feel jealous or distant. But when you admit your imperfections, when you're real with others, people draw closer to you. That's why I'm not afraid, guys, of telling my past who I am, cracking my jokes, because that's who I am. Whether it be at home or anywhere I go, it's just a part of me to have these funny things in my brain, and I utter it for as long as that I don't hurt anyone. But sometimes I have to control it when I crack a joke with my wife, and it's offending sometimes. But I didn't mean that. I just want us to be happy as we were talking, and then I realized I made a mistake. But anyway, you have a decision to make every day. Are you ready to be real? Can you be stuck in your sleeves and be slaved with your fear? Or you can be real as you are and enjoy the good things God planned for you long ago. If you want to enjoy our freedom in Christ, guys, be real. Be real. Don't live a life of illusion that you are not. You are not you yourself as you walk, being a believer. In Romans 12:2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let's just take one principle in the Bible, that if you believe and follow this principle, I guarantee, because I know it, it was effective in my walk with God and effective with my family, you'll have a better future while you're here on earth. And this is that principle. In Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you," all the things that you need. All those that you need will be added unto you. It means that anything you do, wherever it is, work, it is schooling, it is volunteering in church, volunteering whatever, whatever you're volunteering in, sports or ministry or fishing or whatever it is, that do it looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, your faith. Last Friday, I was given a chance to go fishing. They approved my leave. We're supposed to take a leave 2 weeks time, 2 weeks ahead of time that we apply for it. But I cannot do that when I go fishing, because you have to know the weather. You cannot know if it's 2 weeks. So I made a compromise with our bosses that, please, just let me take a leave, even if it's not 2 weeks. And, you know, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do as long as it's legal. And they agreed. This is our contract. This is just a part of your, because we want you to be happy with your life. Okay, we'll do it. So they gave me that leave yesterday. And while there, I was praising God for the goodness of God. That even in a work where there are principles, they give a chance for people like me. not to violate the rule, but to be considerate with something, because it is just hard to apply for 2 months, 2 weeks, and then suddenly it's raining and you can't go fishing. So they agreed with that. But I've already done a lot of good things for the company, so probably that's the reason. That's why they gave me the job, what that I'm doing. I seldom try but solve problems of the company, because if problems are not solved, the company will pay penalty to Auckland Transport. So I solve them. I'm the one solving all those problems of lateness. Anything, somebody gets absent, I do the duty. So that's something that is favorable as the end, and I really thank God for that. The privilege. And while I was fishing, I only got one fish, and still I was so happy. Not because I got one fish. Who will be happy with just one? I usually catch at least five snappers, left something left, and I didn't catch snapper, just one big cowhead. That's all. But you know why I was happy? Louisa even heard me say when I was already at home, "Oh Lord, thank you. I don't have to clean too many fish today. I just clean one." And that's true, because sometimes it takes me 2, 3 hours to clean fish. It's so hard, especially when they're big fish. So there's always way to thank God, to seek the kingdom for, to seek His glory, to seek His good, to seek His goodness in everything that is happening, or you do, or you are going to do. There is no greater joy than to be effective in God's purpose, bigger than yourself. Nothing compares to that feeling you get when the moment you realize, this is it, this is why I'm alive. I'll get it now. I'll do it now. Serve Him with gladness in whatever capacity, skill you have. I was so happy yesterday. I saw my grandchildren playing bass for Elijah and guitar for Sam. You know, we never forced them to get into ministry. We just prayed. I just interceded for them. I just hope that God will touch their hearts, and now they're doing it. What a gift to a grandfather who wants his grandchildren to serve the Lord. Be a blessing to the church. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all those dreams you have for your family shall be added unto you. If you've never had this feeling, you're missing out. The purpose of life isn't to get an education, to get a job. Those are things that we should have. But that's not the only purpose. That's not the main purpose of life, or to make money, a lot of money, or to retire before you die, to enjoy your money. Your life is far more significant than your career, but by the things you can buy because you've got money. You were made for eternal purposes. We are in the kingdom of God for the purpose of building closer relationship, which starts at our home. You can only be effective outside of your home if you are effective in your home. That's why I make sure that Louisa is never pressured in the house chores, because unless she stops me doing it, I'll do it anyway. And there is just one that she doesn't want me to do, washing clothes. But I hang. I clean the house. Every day I vacuum. Every day if she doesn't cook, I cook, because I want a relationship. I want her to be happy in her life. She sits there on the computer because she does accounting for the church. She does accounting for her work. She does accounting for people. Oh, too many work in front of the computer. And to me, I have to help her. I have to make her happy. I'll do the chores. Of course, to show that I love her so much. You see, I believe that our children do what they do because most of it, they saw us doing it. We are, whether we like it or not, discipling our household. And this is what we should be thankful of to God, guys. We were brought, we were saved, and we are already there in the heavenlies. We have a body prepared for us, I believe. We have a dwelling place, the Bible says. Some call it mansion. But we are also here on earth to hopefully enjoy this Christian life of freedom. Freedom to serve God. Freedom to be ourselves. Freedom to make somebody happy, especially the people in our family. So I hope that this message will serve as a basis for us to yearn, to desire more about what God has prepared for us as we walk in that narrow path, the path of righteousness. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this time, that though we were not able to meet together, but we pray, Lord, that your Spirit just fill our hearts with joy and satisfaction. There may be a cyclone, but God, thank you for this shelter that we are enjoying, God. Thank you for the life we had. That this is nothing compared to the cyclones and the tornadoes and whatever other countries like America and the Philippines are experiencing. Lord, we just commit to you all of those that are under this calamity, that no one get hurt, Lord. Bless New Zealand, oh God. Thank you, brethren. And the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Enjoy your day. Thank you.